show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now the 1-2. Cut on and miss. That gets away from the catcher. Martin will scoop it up, throw on, and get him to end the ball game. That strikeout ends it. Red Sox fall 8-6. They rallied late on a dramatic home run from Dustin Pedroia. In the end, it was not enough, and the Red Sox head for the road.
How'd you like that one today, Murray? And again, I only had one eye on the game. I had one eye on it because we were on the air this afternoon while the Red Sox are wrapping up a series with the Blue Jays. Four games, and they lose it. 8-6. 8-6, the final score. And this is the kind of game, people, folks, that should make you want to pull your hair out. This is the one that should send you over the edge. So I'll explain why here in a second. But the baseball reporters here will be with you till 7 o'clock. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the program. Again, all your calls Red Sox related as we head up to 7 o'clock. Typically, that's when the game starts. But in this case, we do it after the game. And I will tell you all that the Red Sox now go on a road trip. They went 2-2 in this series against the Blue Jays. Not good enough. This is a team you should be able to win 3 out of 4 against at home. That comes after a four-game series against the Yankees in which you lost, or you split the series, lost the middle two and, 2-2. But to me, it was a series loss, is what I'm trying to say. You had a chance in that series to do more damage, and I thought that series was more of a win for Yankees than it was for the Red Sox. Again, 617-779-0985. Here is why a game like today should make you want to beat your head against the wall. The most frustrating part of this Red Sox season, for the most part, has been their inability to score. Okay, it's been their inability to score. We all agree on that. We thought they were going to be a more productive offensive team than they have been. They're not bad offensively. They're a little streaky. They're inconsistent. They certainly lack power. They can't hit home runs. At this stage, 95, 96 games into the season, it's not going to change. It's not going to change overnight. The Red Sox are who they are offensively. That problem is real. This is why people want a power hitter at third base. This is why beyond this season, depending on how it ends, I think you have to take a serious look at the Red Sox and wonder whether they have to go out and trade for a power hitter to put in the middle of that lineup. Because I don't think you get it from the system. And again, Rafael Devers is a bit of a wild card. Devers has big time power. Well, he has power. I shouldn't say big time power. He has power. He bats left-handed. He's a perfect fit for their lineup. He's also going to be a rookie next year. But beyond that, where are you getting the number three or number four hitter who hits the ball out of the ballpark with great regularity? Where are you getting that guy? And remember, we're playing in an era now, this year, where home runs are being hit at a record rate. Home runs in baseball are up. The last I checked, baseball was on pace for over 6,000 home runs this year to be the highest number in the history of the game, and that includes the steroid era. And you have a team that doesn't hit home runs. So again, put it into context. Not only are you last, you're last at a time when the ball is leaving the ballpark more rapidly than it has ever left the ballpark before. And this is all a long way of saying that at this stage, I accept the fact that the Red Sox are not a high-scoring team. Today, they got 6, and they lost. And as Alex Spear of the Globe pointed out earlier in the week, and Alex is always a good numbers guy. You hear me talk about him a lot. Alex is a good numbers guy. The Red Sox this year, when scoring 5 or more runs, had the best winning percentage in baseball going into today. They had won 21 straight games when scoring 5 or more runs. Today, they got 6, and they lost. The 2-0 loss, the 3-1 loss, the 4-2 loss, you're going to get those. They have good pitching. There are going to be nights where they pitch well and don't score. It's going to happen. It has happened. It'll continue to happen. Unless all of a sudden they bring in some absolute middle of the order, middle of the lineup stud, which I don't anticipate at the trading deadline, especially if they want to stay under that nonsensical luxury tax. If that's what the approach is, they're not going to get a legit middle-of-the-order bat to solve their problems. The bullpen, again, that's the way I would go. Figure out how to win games in low-scoring fashion. Here's the other problem with the Red Sox offense and the six runs today and then the loss. They had a situation late in that game, down 7-6, where they got the leadoff man on. Sandy Leon walked to start the eighth inning. Devin Marrero was due up, and John Farrell pinch hit for him with Mitch Moreland. So now, Murray, you tell me, and there's no right or wrong answer. Leadoff man on in the eighth, you're down a run. You can have Devin Marrero go up and bunt, or Mitch Moreland go up and hit. Which one do you pick? And I mean this literally. There is no wrong answer.
Oh, no, I think there is a wrong answer. I think you have to have Marrero bunt there.
Okay. So I would have Marrero bunt, and then I would either have, you know, I'd save Moreland to see what happens. Maybe we score. Maybe we can use Moreland later. I see how it goes. I would have done that too. Moreland hit. I believe he flied out, and the Red Sox end up not scoring in the inning, and Toronto hits a home run in the top of the ninth, and it's an 8-6 final. Okay, so 7-6 at that time. But you know what? You and I can disagree on that. Moreland hits one out of the ballpark. Farrell looks like a genius. Marrero doesn't get the bunt down, which was the case the other night. Three straight bunt attempts, all foul. Farrell again looks like a dummy if that happens. So there were lots of ways that could have gone. The problem is that I look at the Red Sox in a situation like that and I say there's no right answer. They don't hit home runs. So you can't play for Moreland. They don't bunt. They don't do the little things well, so it's hard to play the other way, too. So this is my concern.
And Moreland's been a mess lately, too, so I'd rather try to go with the safer play there.
So they're stuck in the middle, though, is the problem, right? They don't hit home runs, so you can't play for a home run. But I keep saying play for the small stuff, play the small ball,
Yeah. Bunt
a guy over, do some creative things, rely on the manager. And based on the other night, I'm not sure they can get the bunt down. They keep getting thrown out on the bases. It happened again today. Leon got thrown out of the plate. Last night, Chris Young got hung up between second and third in a stupid base running play. So they don't run the bases especially well. It doesn't feel like they play small ball well. So it feels like there's no way out of this thing. And I'm not sure about the manager's ability to make calls there either. Like, that should scare the hell out of you. Really. I say play small ball. But can they do it? I'm not convinced. There's a real conundrum there with the Red Sox. Holy smokes, is there a conundrum? 617-779-0985. You know what? We'll get your phones right now. Brandon's in a car. Brandon, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. Great lead. And I think that no matter what the inadequacies of the manager and the fundamentals of small ball, no matter what we do for a trade, it's not going to work. But maybe somehow you were talking earlier about trading the bat. People aren't going to want to hear this. Betts, Bogarts, because he's a dog, and then Swihart for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, Brandon, so go ahead.
I was going to say, I just think that with Betts already saying he didn't want to sign until he was a free agent, and the fact that you're going to be lacking the power that we're feeling this season, and Hanley's the dog is going to be out of here, move the manager, get Giancarlo Stanton, Marrero at short, Devers at third. You put Giancarlo maybe in right, maybe in left, move Benintendi over. And this team, once they learned how to fundamentally play baseball, they will work in the postseason and, you know, puts their pants on and fires this manager. That's what they need to do.
Okay, so look, I'm going to let you go, Brandon. That's too much for Stanton. You're not giving up Betsy and Bogarts. You're not doing that. It's too much. It's too much. Remember, with Stanton, too, you're taking on a huge contract. Huge. So there's got to be the Marlins have to pay something for that. You know, you're doing them a favor by taking that contract. And Stanton had some injury history, too. So, look, I love Stanton, but that could be a huge bust. That's rolling the dice. I love Stanton. However, your general premise is not wrong, which brings me to sort of this point. You want to make that kind of deal? You don't necessarily have the prospects to get it done. And I like the idea of keeping Devers. You've already traded all your other big prospects. Some for relievers that have never set foot on the field, so that comes back to Dombrowski. If the Red Sox end up failing this season because they don't have a real big stick in the middle of that lineup, they have to seriously look at acquiring one, which means doing what? Trading from the core of Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts, Bradley. You're going to have to deal from that core, but you're not getting both Betts and Bogarts. Not for Giancarlo Stanton. No way. You're not getting both. But that's the kind of thing you're looking at. Now, Bogarts? Bogarts, to me, is in play. He's in play. Again, there's a long way to go here, and I'm not talking about now. I'm not talking about the trade deadline. I'm talking about after the season. Bogarts will have a couple of years left before free agency. If Bogarts doesn't hit for power, and you're the Red Sox, and you have a power shortage, but you have a shortstop who can hit 300, play pretty good defense, all of that, you should dangle Xander Bogarts. You should. Put him out there. And see if you throw in a prospect, a pitching prospect, whatever, that maybe you can go out and get yourself a legit middle-of-the-order bat, because that's the biggest place to upgrade the power. Betts hits for some. Bradley hits for some. Benintendi hits for some. Bogarts, not enough. That's what I would do. Again, that's a bigger picture thing. Meanwhile, the Red Sox, frustrating loss. Doug Fister on the mound, completely caved in, all of that. We'll take your calls. We were on the air today, so I would love someone to tell me how exactly Sandy Leon, someone please explain to me how Sandy Leon was on third base and got thrown out at the plate on a single. I want someone to explain to me how that happened.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball. That's well hit. Deep to right. Betts is backing up, and he's watching it sail. It's out of here by Justin Smoke. That'll make it 6-3 Toronto. He goes right after Fister to launch his 25th home run of the season.
I'll tell you, the curveball hasn't been Doug Fister's best friend today, and Smoke makes him pay.
I've had enough of Doug Fister now. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm good. I don't need to see any more Doug Fister. I'm aware of what Fister's abilities are, or lack thereof. So if Fister never sees the mound again in a Red Sox uniform, I'm okay with that. Murray, you good with that if Fister never pitches again?
Yeah, especially when you look at the top of the third inning, and it wasn't just the error that was made by Brock Holt that ultimately ended up tying the game in the third. You really go back and look at that. He walked a guy to load the bases. Then that pop-up ends up happening. Brock Holt loses it in the sun. They call it a hit. A couple of runners score. And then I think he walked the next batter, too. He's a mess.
Oh, God. You know, Billy Lanny, where are you on Doug Fister? Do you want to see Doug Fister pitch again?
No, I'm not going to miss him.
So this is the other thing. Like, I always worry about this sort of thing. Now, the Red Sox have invested a great deal in their starting rotation, so I don't want them to go out and trade a prospect for a starting pitcher. And they, honestly, they don't need it.
Well, Dave Dombrowski's already said that he's not going to, which I liked hearing.
And the only reason Fister is out there at all is because they wanted to give an extra day to Sale and Price and those guys because of the weekend series with the Yankees, which I'm all for. I'm for that. But I do think it tells you something that when the Red Sox were looking for pitching, and I endorse it at the time, but I think it tells you about where they are financially as well. Doug Fister, $1.75 million. Peanuts. The average big league salary now is $4 million. So this guy, and they gave him only a minor league deal. You know, when they brought him in from the Angels, he had to sort of earn his way up here. He did. They put him on the big league roster. They claimed him off waivers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of that. But they went after a reclamation project. They didn't go after a real pitcher. They went after Doug Fister. They rolled the dice, which I think, again, was the right thing to do. I have now come to the conclusion that Doug Fister is not going to help them in this baseball season. And in the interim, they split with the Jays. Bad series. Now they go to Anaheim. After that, they go to Seattle. You know, the West Coast trips are always important. You know, you're away, and it's typically the Red Sox, I don't want to say historically they don't do well out there, because in this case, they're not going to play great teams. And I remember some years when they went out there and did very, very well and locked up playoff spots on the West Coast. So they can win out there, but they've been a better team at home, and I don't think they're playing great right now. We'll go back to the phones. Tyler is in Auburn. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. That guy kind of stole my thunder with the Giancarlo Stanton, but I think a guy that a lot of people don't look at is Jose Abreu. You know, he's got two arbitration years left after this year. He's 30 years old, but he's hit 30 home runs twice. I think he'd be a good addition to the Red Sox. I don't know what you'd have to give up for him, you know, because the White Sox are rebuilding. You know, he's 30 years old, so they're not going to rebuild around him. I don't know. I just want to get your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay, so Tyler, look, I like Abreu. His name came up the other day. I like Abreu as a player. The problem is you have some positional limitations now in terms of where you can fit guys in. So where are you going to put him? Like, Abreu is a first-base DH. You have one of those. And again, if you're talking just this year, well, then I would say if you're talking about an upgraded DH, then Hanley has to go. Like, just to play the game. Let's say you wanted to get Miguel Cabrera. One of my demands on the Tigers would be, well, fine, but you have to take Hanley. You want us to take the 6 years and $180 million or whatever it is remaining on Cabrera's deal, fine, but we got to send Hanley back. So you're upgrading a spot. But the concern I have is more long-term. You got to get a power hitter in here, I think, long-term. Now, again, I'm willing to say let's wait. Let's see how August and September go, and if the Red Sox get into the playoffs, and they should, let's see what does them in if they ultimately lose. If they win with the team they've got, and you say, you know what, the athleticism, the doubles power, the speed, the defense, the pitching is good enough to win a World Series, well, then don't worry about it. Fine, no problem. I question whether or not they can actually do that, though. Let's go to Brooke, who's in the car.
Yeah, hey, Tony. First of all, I wanted to say, as far as the pitching trend line goes, I think next we can probably anticipate Anibal Sanchez coming in here at the trading deadline. Another Tiger, as you know. But I also wanted to make the point about, since we're talking about fantasy trades, I believe you dismissed Olney's report the other day that there was the potential that the Red Sox could get Machado, but I actually think that that would be the best fit. And given the fact that we know that Dealer Dave has a penchant for these big blockbuster moves, I'm curious to know what you think would be worth it for Machado, because I would be willing to clear out the house. I mean, I'd give him Devers, Groom, Bradley. What would you do? And tell me more about why you think it's impossible.
Okay, so I don't think it's impossible, Brooke, but here's my question for you. What, with regard to Machado, do you know how long he signed for?
Through next year.
Okay, through next year, right. And then after that, I'm going to let you go. After that, he's a free agent, and his agent is Scott Boras. So, you know, if you want to bring in Machado now, you can't give up all the pieces you're talking about. Like, what's the point of doing that? You're trying to, if you're bringing in Machado now, which, by the way, I'm not entirely against. Like, given what the Red Sox have invested in this team, if they looked at it and said, well, we're already waist deep. We're going after a championship. We want to win one in the next 2 or 3 years. So you know what? Machado makes sense for us this year for the balance of the season and next. So we'll give up Devers. We'll give up Devers. We'll throw in something else. We'll add Machado to the team. And not only do you get a third baseman, you get a stud and a guy who can hit cleanup or third or whatever. Put him wherever you want. And you keep Benintendi. You keep Bradley. You keep Bogarts. And now they're all slotted properly. And now you're talking. Now you're talking. But you have to give up Devers, and you have to give up the future to do it. The other scenario to me only comes in play during the offseason. You want to trade a Benintendi, you want to trade a Bogarts, a Betts, a Bradley, you got to do it during the winter. And I don't want to do it for a guy who's going to be here for just 1 year then. I want someone who's going to fix my power problem for years to come. Tom is in Boston.
Hey, Tony, this Doug Fister needs to get fisted out of Boston. I am done. They should have stopped putting him on the mound 2 games ago. Every time I hear Doug Fister, I think loss. I'd rather watch any of the prospects, Jalen Beeks, any prospect they have, come up, see what they got, put them in a major league spot, just see what they have mentally. But every time I hear Doug Fister, we're going to lose.
Tom, so I'll give you the good news. I don't think you're going to see him again in a game as a starter. Again, the only reason he was out there, just do the math. First of all, that 16-inning game on Saturday night sent them back quite a bit, especially when you add the doubleheader on top of it. So the only reason Fister pitched is because you had a doubleheader on Sunday, and then Brian Johnson got dropped in there, and because of the workload of the last week, they wanted to get extra days for Sale and Price, which I'm for. But I don't think you have to worry about Fister anymore. And if they need another guy to come up and pitch, it'll be Brian Johnson. So Brian Johnson is now the sixth starter, if that's how you want to look at it. Okay? 617-779-0985. More base running mistakes for the Red Sox. We'll add that to the discussion after Jim Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Again, they wouldn't be the Red Sox if they didn't get thrown out on the bases again. That's just like a standard thing. It's got to happen every night. Chris Young last night got hung up between third and home on a nothing play. Like, just that is just the definition of bad base running. The infield was in. Young was on third. Chopper to first. Smoke fielded it. Looked at third. Stepped on the bag. Looked again. And Young was still between third and home. Got caught in a rundown. Got thrown out. Double play. It just gave away an out there. Today, and I put this out there in all seriousness, I've seen a highlight sort of a little, just the end of it. I haven't seen the whole play. Sandy Leon was on third base. There was a single, and he got thrown out at home.
It looked like a car crash.
So I'm not joking. It sounds funny, okay? Again, just listen to the words. Listen to the situation. Because I know sometimes you're driving along, you're not paying attention. Sandy Leon was on third base. There was a single, and he got thrown. He got thrown out at the plate. How does that happen? I want someone who saw the whole play to explain it to me, how exactly that happened. I've read it on the log, and I have purposely not looked at the highlight. I've caught the very end of it. I've seen Leon kind of slide, quote-unquote, into the plate, if that's what you want to call it. And then I think it was Russell Martin catching for the Jays, if he was still in there today. Sort of half bobbled the ball, but nonetheless held on to it. And so he was called out. Leon was called out. But I want to know exactly how the thing happened. I want someone to explain it to me. It just sounds funny when you say it. On third, someone singled and got thrown out of the plate. Dave is in a car. Dave, what do you got?
I had a take on the base running and small ball, but once you brought up the Bogaerts trade, I got a lot to say about long-term power. If you trade Bogaerts, most likely you're then going to have a shortstop that's just like a bottom of the order kind of bum, and you're going to lose a ton of production there. And if Devers is going to be a third baseman of the future, then really you're trading Bogaerts, your only opening is at first base. And more likely, if you trade like Bradley, who still has a couple of years and you're not going to resign, or even Benintendi, that opens up left field, you know, as another option to get a middle-of-the-order power guy. And I think that's probably the best way they should go, because really, Benintendi is like a good all-around player and hitter, and he's a good outfielder that kind of goes to waste playing left field at Fenway. So, I mean, if you then have deal him or Bradley, and you have...
All right, Dave, listen, before you confuse everybody, I'm going to stop you. Thank you. I understand what you're saying. I'm just telling you that if you want to upgrade power in this lineup, you're going to have to... To me, you got to trade from the core. You got to trade from the core. You're going to have to do it that way. The idea is to add Devers and add a bat, and now maybe, okay, now you've really upgraded the power. But that means you got to get rid of someone who doesn't give you enough. So who is worth something in a trade that could get you a real slugger? Bogaerts, Betts, Benintendi, Bradley. And the longer you wait, the less they're worth, because those guys will get that much closer to free agency. So I'm telling you, it's just something you got to think about. If you want a Giancarlo Stanton, and I pick him just because he signed for a long time, or Manny Machado, you could wait the extra year and just sign Machado as a free agent. It's fine. But in the interim, you have built a team that you're going to try to win a World Series with. So, like, for example, you could let Bogaerts go and then sign Alcides Escobar as a free agent. He's leaving Kansas City. He's 30 years old. Not a great offensive player. Good defensive player. You hit him at the bottom of the lineup. Now you've got a shortstop that'll hit at the bottom of the lineup, yes, but he's not a disaster. There's been a team that's won a World Series with him, in fact. And meanwhile, you go out and stud bat for the middle of the lineup. This is what I'm telling you. Because Bogaerts is better than Alcides Escobar is offensively. But he's not as good as he should be, and he's not so good that you can hit him in the middle of the order. He just does not give you enough run production there to hit in the middle of the order. It's a problem. It is a problem. And I would say, look, Bradley and Betts to a lesser degree, which is why I'd want to move Bogaerts first, if you're talking that kind of scenario. And that's way down the line. Josh is in a car. Josh, what do you got?
Hi. So I was thinking either Brandon Belt or Mike Moustakas, from Kansas City, because I can tell you one reason why a lot of people aren't, like, fighting at the bit.
Josh. Okay, so I'm going to stop you there. So the connection is not great. Brandon Belt's a first baseman, right? He doesn't play in the outfield, too, does he? So I don't. If one of you guys could check that, I don't think Brandon Belt plays in the outfield. But beyond that, on this team this year, you're not going to be able to make a substantive acquisition and improve this lineup considerably. Because what you need is a major upgrade. You need a major upgrade in the middle of your batting order. Unless Hanley starts hitting like he did in the second half last year, then things change. Bob is in Methuen. Go, Bob.
Hey, Tony. Considering the Red Sox payroll and the situation they're in this year, I do think they're going to have to think outside of the box a little bit. And here's my outside-of-the-box move for the Red Sox. Jackie Bradley and prospects to the Reds. For Billy Hamilton, Zach Cozart. Cozart goes to shot naturally. Bogaerts goes to third. You still have an excellent center fielder, one of the best base stealers and base runners in the game. Shortstop defense gets improved, and it'd be impossible for Bogaerts to be any worse than what we've already seen at third base.
Okay, so, Bob, here's what I also want to avoid. I want to avoid too many trade scenarios where people start coming up with cockamamie ideas, and I'm not saying yours is cockamamie. But I am saying that, you know, someone else is going to call and say, well, no, here's a deal that they should make with the Angels for Mike Trout. No, really, the deal they should make is with Seattle. Here's this trade. Like, so listen, I know it's fun, but I want to stay grounded in reality. At the moment, you have a team that is leading the division, that is going to make the playoffs, presumably, that has a three-year championship window, and who knows, might win the championship this year without a great power hitter. In which case, this is all moot. Maybe you get into October and your team can win 2-1 and 3-2 all the time and you don't have a major issue. And let me just say that this whole discussion is predicated or triggered in part by the fact that you lost an 8-6 game to the Toronto Blue Jays today. You scored today and you lost. That has not happened to the Red Sox that many times this year. The large majority of their losses have come when they haven't scored. The point is that the pitching has been good. The pitching today really let them down, and that was Doug Fister, so I suppose you bite the bullet. But at the same time, late in that game, they had a leadoff man on with nobody out, and I thought, well, maybe they should bunt here. Devin Marrero was due up. They hit for him with Mitch Moreland. And I thought, well, why do you hit there? Why wouldn't you bunt? But, you know, if you're John Farrell, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't in that particular situation. Your team doesn't hit a lot of home runs. So the chances of Moreland hitting one out of the ballpark as a pinch hitter, and I know he has been relatively productive, but you get the idea. You're not the type of team that all of a sudden starts generating this big-time offense with home runs. At the same time, you tried some small ball the other night, and Marrero fouled off three straight bunts and struck out. So my concern is, this year, I don't think the Red Sox have a choice. I think that in close games late, they're going to have to try to manufacture runs. They're going to have to try to play small ball. The problem is, I don't know whether the manager can make the right call at the right time with the right players. And then even if he does, can the players execute it? The Devin Marrero thing the other night, three straight bunts, foul for a strikeout, that's on Marrero. Marrero's a middle infielder. He can't hit, and he can't get a bunt down? I mean, what good are you? I might as well have Pablo Sandoval on the roster. So Marrero plays defense, fine, I get it. Cheap shot. Total cheap shot on my part. But offensively, if you can't hit and you can't advance a runner with a bunt, what good are you? Really? I might as well just take the out and send up the next guy. Matt's in Danvers. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. I saw the play with Sandy Leon.
Ah, thank you. Okay, good. So let me know for sure.
All right, I'm not 100% sure if the bases were loaded, but there was at least a guy on second and third, obviously Leon being on third.
Yes, so we'll run his own. Yes, second and third is correct.
Okay, pop up going down the line. Yeah, the shortstop, third baseman, and left field are all running into the play. At the angle that Leon was at, he couldn't really see whether or not the third baseman, don't know, can't remember what his name is on Toronto. But anyways, he drops the ball. It looked like he could have caught it. By the time Leon realizes that he did not catch the ball, he starts running. Now, granted, he should have stayed where the heck he was, and he shouldn't have run. knowing that he's not the fastest person on the team.
I got you.
But that's more of what happened, rather than, you know, it wasn't really like it was a single in that he was able to take off right away. He had to wait to see whether the ball was caught.
Okay, so it was a play behind the bag, and the ball actually fell out of the player's glove?
No, he missed it entirely.
He missed it entirely, and then Leon broke home and he got gunned down.
Yes, it did.
The throw hit him? Tell me that is not perfect. That's like such a Red Sox thing to have happen. I can't tell you. I remember years ago, like there was this thing in the Herald. You're not going to remember the guy, Murray, but his name was David Cattaneo. He used to write these clever things in the Herald on baseball.
Okay.
And he one time did this Red Sox quiz, and you got certain points to how you could know if you were a true dyed-in-the-wool Red Sox fan. Like damaged DNA the whole nine yards. Right. How do you know if you are a cynical, skeptical Red Sox fan, a true Red Sox fan? And one of the questions was, the Red Sox hit two consecutive doubles, and you asked the question, A, who hit the doubles? B, what inning the doubles were in? C, who did he hit the doubles against? Or D, did anyone score? And I'm telling you, this was one of those plays today. That's Sandy Leon on third, single to left. He gets thrown out at the plate. Brilliant. Pete is in a car. Pete, what do you got?
Yeah, Tony, I don't mean to pick on you. I know you were working today. You weren't able to watch the game. But, yeah, that play was not really on Leon. I mean, like the previous caller said, it was kind of a freak bloop down the left field line. It was just instinctual for him to break for home. He got gunned down because he's built like Murray and wasn't going to get there any quicker. But
Murray's faster. Shouldn't he have stayed?
Maybe.
Okay,
maybe.
But if he got thrown out, shouldn't he have stayed at third?
Yes, absolutely. He should have, but I just think it was instinctual. As soon as you see that ball drop, he broke. Maybe it's on Butterfield. Maybe Butterfield should have been screaming stop, 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 or no, 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 whatever. But anyway, furthermore, you know, I don't think it was that frustrating a loss, as you've been alluding to. Doug Fister started the game. All right, Brandon Workman, Fernando Abad pitched in the game. Frustrating losses for me are like when like Sale pitches great, Price pitches great, Kimbrel doesn't close it out. Those are the frustrating losses to me. To me, Fister, Abad, Workman, you lose that game. I don't know. It's a Thursday getaway day game. They're off to the road now. I don't know. It wasn't that frustrating to me. But
Pete, you're up.
I'll hang up and let you listen.
Pete,
thanks,
Tony. You're up 3-1 in the early innings against the Toronto Blue Jays. Two outs and a pop up behind second base. That Brock Holt loses in the sun and opens the door for a four-run inning. That's not frustrating to you? And I'm not saying there's always someone to blame. I saw that happen, and I said, you've got to be kidding me. This is how they're going to lose today? Because Brock Holt lost a ball in the sun. How about sunglasses? Did Brock Holt have sunglasses?
I don't recall. If he did, they were flipped up because you could see his whole face. He kept dropping F-bombs after he made the mistake.
Okay, so why didn't he have sunglasses? Like that's
oh, wait, no, they were on. They were on. The game
you know
was on.
What, Murray,
I we're doing the show.
I'm not sure he did he? Are you sure about that?
I think he did, yeah.
So my recollection was he didn't. Like, and a lot of guys were having problems with the sun today. There's no question. I looked up a few times. Jose Bautista had a problem. Mookie Betts had a problem at one point. So it might have been a tough Sunday. I don't doubt that for a second. I still think that they are big league players and that they know how to handle the sun. If Pedroia were there, would he have made the play? And my answer is yes. I believe that Pedroia would have. We'll wrap it up with your calls and check in with Adam Jones next.